Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bernola and Eric. Hi, welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. Tonight we bring you some NBA playoffs and some baseball talk. We'll finish the show off with our hot picks and takes. And, of course, I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong, joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at @NJH09. And getting a little late start here tonight, but we're getting ready to go. Tonight we reset our hot picks. Nolan's won the first two, and looking to top you this time. So we'll have to see. And we also have our hot take special show, review show next week as well.
Yeah, no, definitely another 20 episodes down. About to be 20, or I guess another 21. 41 episodes total. It's been a good run so far. Hopefully we can keep it up.
Yeah, definitely. Starting to get a little better on my picks here, it looks like. So, just inching my way up there.
All right. I guess we should just get into what happened last week then. What baseball games did we pick?
Oh, we took the Red Sox at Royals, game two of the doubleheader. We both went Royals in that. They actually won game one, lost game two. Red Sox won game two, 5-2. And, David Price improved to 6-1 on the season and had a nice outing.
Yeah, Jackie Bradley Jr., of course, been on his hitting streak. Of course, extended that during that game with a home run. Mookie Betts also hit a home run. The Royals were able to take the other two games of that series, just not the one that we picked.
Ian Kennedy was the winner. Volquez was the loser in game two. So, we were a little off there, but it's all good. So, the next game we had was the NL East leading Nationals at the Mets. It was Strasburg versus Harvey, and Harvey got pretty just beat up in that game, actually got booed off the mound in New York. So kind of an interesting storyline going on there. We'll have to see what he does here in his next start. It was reported that he'd get scratched, but he's going to make that start, it looks like, so.
Yeah, I guess they checked him out and aren't too concerned about it. You have to wonder how much it has to do with last year and pushing himself and going over his innings limit. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, because that was then, this is now kind of deal, and you know, there shouldn't be any regrets for going for and accomplishing what they did last year, but. But yeah, it would definitely suck to see if that had any effect on him going forward. He's definitely a guy who looks like he can, or once can be the leader of that rotation with all those talented arms. And he's definitely the veteran of that staff, and they need a guy like him to perform.
Yeah, definitely. And all that being said, he probably pushed himself one too many innings last season, so. Yeah. He's going to really have to step up. I definitely like Syndergaard and I like DeGrom, but if they're able to have three of those guys, Matz is kind of inconsistent right now, which is to be expected. Still young, but Harvey, I think, is going to be very vital to where they go in the postseason this year.
All right. Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, I guess since we're going to go over these basketball games that we also picked in a little more detail, we can go with our upsets. Who do you have?
Yeah, I had the Braves over the Pirates on Wednesday night, and the Braves pulled through for me. Second game under new manager from AAA, not quite sure what his name is, but the win over the Pirates, 3-1, I believe, and got their 10th win of the season. So congrats.
So they're turning it all around, right?
No, they are not.
No. Oh. You mean they're not hitting home runs all over the place now? Everything's not all fixed.
Jeff Francoeur hit a second, though. So
there you go. So now somebody has two home runs other than Freddie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Freddie Freeman. Yeah.
Right. All right.
Yeah,
that
game was actually the start of a 3-game winning streak as well. So not bad.
Yeah.
Not
well,
bad.
Hopefully the Braves have something to look forward to. Definitely. It's been a while since they've seen high-level baseball. All right, but anyway, let's go on to a team who is playing at a higher level of baseball than my upset. I thought that Jake Arrieta would finally lose a game to the Giants. It turns out that did not happen. He, of course, was, as per usual, very effective, 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, no runs, 8 strikeouts, only 1 walk, looked really good. ZRA is down to 129. Just, again, incredible. That makes 22 straight wins for the Cubs in his starts, and in those starts he is 19-0 himself, so definitely,
yeah,
definitely good to see from him that he's following up last season. You don't always see that. You get guys that kind of 1 year and done. You might be seeing that with somebody like Dallas Keuchel. Don't know what's going on with him really. He's kind of struggling to regain his form from last year. But Arrieta's definitely the real deal.
No doubt, and I bet the Cubs could really use some of those runs right now. They're kind of struggling to score any runs lately. So bet they wish they could score some more runs for those other pitchers they have.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's just a matter of time. They're on just a little bit of a skid, but all right.
Oh, yeah. They're fine.
Anything else you want to talk about before we get into these basketball games?
No, I'm ready for some playoff talk. Let's do it.
All right. Well, you want to go east or west?
Well, let's go ahead and talk about the west here.
All right. Well, first up, before we can get to the excitement and the unknown going forward after Game 3, we do have to go over Game 2. After all, that is the first one that we picked. I think you had Oklahoma City, and I had Golden State. I didn't think there was any way. Yeah, there was any way Golden State was going to allow that series to go to Oklahoma City down 2-0, and they didn't. The thing that really caught me about Game 2 was, I mean, it kind of ended up being a blowout in a way, but there was really only the two big runs for me that kind of were the difference in the game, and that was at the end of the first half and then late in the third quarter, where it just seemed like Oklahoma City kind of lost focus on defense and therefore lost track of Steph Curry for a couple possessions, and he just kind of went off both of those times and created and made things happen like he does, which next thing you know, you blink, you're down double digits. Especially, it was especially kind of kind of disheartening at the end of the first half for the Thunders, but it seemed like they had kind of hung around a little bit, but were kind of behind a lot of the first half, but then had gotten it at least within a possession. I'm not sure if they'd tied the score or not, but they were definitely close. Before Golden State went on that run and got back to a bigger lead at halftime. But for me, that was really the only difference. You didn't get a lot from Kevin Durant in the first half, but he ended up having a stronger second half, finished with 29. If the Thunder, I feel like if the Thunder just had that little lapse in focus a couple times there, then they probably would have had a lot better shot there at the end.
Yeah, actually, Durant had the big first half. He had 23 in the first half, only 6 in the second half. The Thunder just really had to work on closing quarters against this team. They knew it. They said it immediately after the game. I thought the series would be 2-1 OKC. I had the games backwards. But I definitely underestimated Golden State and their championship caliber team to win game 2 in Oakland. So, of course, went off in the second half, like you were saying. I think he hit 3 threes in a row at one point. You just kind of
Oklahoma 15 City total points
just fell apart. Yeah. So if you let that happen, you're not going to beat that team. They've been playing them really well. Other than that, they can't afford to do that too much, or they're not going to win this series. They have to keep playing excellent basketball like they have been, and I think they'll keep it up. They also didn't get much from their bench in that game. I think they had a combined 29 points, so just as much as Durant had himself. They're going to have more production than that if they want to beat the team. And, of course, we did see that in the next game.
Yeah, definitely. When they're focused and they're engaged from end to end, yeah, they've looked like the better team without doubt, without a doubt, really through all these three games, just at one time or another. Yeah, there's really only been a few sequences where Golden State has looked like the Golden State we've seen all year. But they definitely came back strong in that game too, and they're 12-0 after a loss this year, which is going to be interesting to see how they respond after game 3.
Yeah, and also Anderson Varejao and Iguodala had pretty good games in that one. I think the Warriors really took control when Iguodala hit that no-look layup and won. It was a big play.
Yeah, that was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty lucky too. But sometimes it's better to be lucky than not, so...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't think he'd made a shot to that point. I think he'd missed a few shots, and that was the first one he got to go in.
Yeah, and then he ended up with 14, so definitely turned it around. And Varejao had a big game, too, came in. The Warriors actually won the rebounding battle in this one, 45-36. Thunder cannot let that happen in any more games. They're bigger and more physical. They should not be getting out rebounded by Golden State.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. All right. I guess let's take this to game 3, where it was basically all Oklahoma City all the time. they got ahead and stayed ahead. What were your thoughts about how they made Golden State look like Golden State made other teams look all year?
All right. Before we get into that, I went 3-2 this week, got my upset. You were 2-3, didn't get your upset. So after the first week, I'm pretty close. So yeah, just want to get that in there before we start this. But, all right. So I don't want to be the one that, overreacts to one game, but I've seen a lot of blowouts in the playoffs, and this one just felt different. It felt like the Thunder figured something out and they weren't going to let it go back. They actually dominated the best lineup in the NBA. Billy Donovan switched it up, probably something the Warriors were not expecting at all. He went small. He played Ibaka at the 5, Durant at the 4, Waiters, Roberson, and Westbrook, and it really just they won it 70-36. They outscored the lineup of death, is what Golden State calls it. And if they're doing that, it's going to be hard. I just felt like this game was a little different just because it felt like they took something from Golden State. I had never really seen Steph Curry and the other guys down like that. They definitely know they have a tough task in front of them. And it's going to be rough. They have to get this next game here because the Thunder are here, and we've been saying it all playoffs. Different demeanor than when we've seen them in the past, and it's pretty scary.
Yeah, definitely. The thing that kind of struck me was the Thunder's points by quarter, at least for the first three quarters. Obviously, not a whole lot of need to go super hard in the fourth, but 34 in the first, 38 in the second, and 45 in the third quarter. After halftime, I saw a lot of talk about, this is by far from over. You know, we've seen what Golden State can do, and Oklahoma City obviously has remained focused on their main goal and knows this just as well as anybody what this team can do. So especially on in Oklahoma City, seeing Steph go crazy, but. But yeah, no, they definitely kept the accelerator down and really took off, hitting a lot of shots in the third quarter. Definitely took it from possible blowout to definite blowout.
Yeah, something we know for sure about this team is they can score pretty much whenever they want against Golden State. And if Golden State's not hitting their threes, which they haven't been, Oklahoma City's closing out fast, causing quick shots. And I don't think we can go without saying, because I feel like if LeBron or not anyone else, but any other big superstar was in this position, they'd be getting ridiculed. And Steph Curry really hasn't been playing, other than game two, like the MVP that we've seen all season. Yeah, he had the knee injury. We don't know how much that's affecting him. But Westbrook's really just kind of taking it from him. Westbrook, of course, is not scared of anyone, and I thought that this would be a big series for him because he always plays with that chip on his shoulder, and if he has that extra chip, wanting what Steph Curry has, I thought it was going to be rough for Steph Curry to defend Westbrook, which he hasn't been doing the past couple games. It's been Klay Thompson, but Westbrook's actually been playing some really good defense on Steph Curry. So, I think Steph Curry needs to step it up. He's the 2-time MVP and NBA champion, and I think that he's going to have to step up here in game four, at least get him 30, and see where it goes from there. It's been tough for him to get a shot, but if Andre Roberson makes as many threes as he does again, they're not winning.
Yeah, no, if he's getting open and knocking them down, then there's really not a whole lot you can do. but yeah, I just don't, as I was saying earlier, the Thunder are just outplaying the Warriors through three games at this point. And I just don't see how you can't say Russell Westbrook isn't the better point guard and that KD hasn't been the best scorer on the floor. I mean, yeah, the Warriors just have not looked like the dominant force that they have all year, and the Thunder look like they're playing just every bit as good as anybody.
Yeah, the Thunder look like the team that won 73 games right now through three games, at least in two of those. And like you said, Durant's looked like the best player on the floor through two of those three games. And Westbrook's looked like the best point guard on the floor in those two out of those three games. So I definitely think Steph Curry needs to step it up, and so does Draymond Green. He had a historically bad performance. Probably would have been best for him to get kicked out of that game so he didn't go minus 43 while he was on the court when he, of course, kicked Steven Adams in the groin area. So,
right.
Yeah, Draymond Green needs to step up too, but I think the physicality of the Thunder are really getting to him. So, not sure if he can do much else.
Yeah, and which I mean, it just kind of goes back to them playing liking to play small and him just being a little undersized for a big man. I mean, yeah, the Thunder have big young guys that can hang with him in there and push him around a little bit. Yeah, it's probably wearing on him a bit, but yeah, the Warriors are going to have to respond in a big way to continue their repeat hopes.
Yeah, and another reason why I felt that something just kind of gotten taken from them because they got their death lineup, a lineup that just blew everyone off the court, just got blown off the court itself, and it's got to be demoralizing when you're trying to make adjustments. So we're definitely going to see what Steve Kerr is made of as a coach. He hasn't really been into many positions like this. I know he's down 2-1 to the Cavs and 2-1 to the Grizzlies, but neither one of those teams were playing like the Thunder are playing right now, and neither of those teams have the two players that the Thunder have. And I also think it's a huge advantage that Kevin Durant, of course, can play in their big lineup, and he can play in their small lineup because he can do everything Steph Curry can do, but he's almost 7 foot tall, so that's a pretty big advantage.
Yeah, wow, totally lost my train of thought. But I agree with what you're saying. All right. I think I got some bad news. I think I actually only made the episode for 30 minutes instead of 45. So we might be running really low on time.
All right. Well, we'll just keep talking, and if it happens, it happens.
All right. Okay. Well, then I guess we've got a series in the East now.
Yeah, we'll just cut the baseball talk out, and we can always talk about it next week. So,
yeah, I mean, we're just kind of just going to go over some random headlines. It wasn't anything too important.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, let's about a series that we didn't think would be a series. We thought the series would be over by now, whether it was in 4 or 5. But the Raptors have won the last two and looked pretty impressive. Won tonight, of course, 105-99. Cavs started the fourth quarter. It was pretty – I thought it was really good that the Raptors, they were actually led by 18 in the third. The Cavs actually came all the way back, took the lead in the game. The Raptors didn't back down, and they kept coming forward. They were able to close the deal out. Even after the Cavs hit 11 of 11 shots in the fourth quarter, the Raptors matched them going 8 for 11. And after that, the Cavs went 1 for 7, and the Raptors took advantage. And we have ourselves a series. It's down to 3. Whoever can win 2 out of 3. 2 of those, of course, are in Cleveland. I think Cleveland's still going to pull it out. But hats off to the Raptors.
Yeah, definitely, especially after those first two games. I mean, they lose games 1 and 2 by a combined 50 points in game 1 just by 31. I mean, you've got LeBron with another triple-double. Kyrie puts up 26 and Kevin Love 19. It looks like they're cruising to another sweep. Once again, yeah, Kyle Lowry was awful in the first two games. 8 of 28 total shooting, 1 of 15 from 3. Just you're getting nothing from him, even though DeMar DeRozan was still kind of scoring a little bit. But yeah, no, they definitely came back strong in game 3. Lowry started hitting some shots. DeRozan seems to be getting better as the series goes on, believe it or not. And Bismack Biyombo is just been insane on the inside these last two games. Kind of wondering where that's coming from, but hey, if it's getting the job done, Cleveland Cleveland seeming to kind of stall here.
Yeah, and Kevin Love got hurt tonight. It doesn't look to be serious, but he didn't play in the fourth quarter. And really right now, I don't know why you'd play him over Channing Frye. Channing Frye's hitting shots. Kevin Love is not. And when Kevin Love's not hitting shots, there's not really anything he can do that Channing Frye can't do. So I think they need to go with the hot hand here and maybe possibly play Frye more minutes than Love. I thought the Raptors would win game three, but I thought the Cleveland comeback win game four and wrap up the series in five. I know Toronto is a really tough team at home. I thought they played about as bad as you can play on the road in those first two games. So it was looking pretty hard to pick them in that third game . But they've been turning on 67 combined points from Lowry and DeRozan tonight. And the crazy thing is DeRozan scored 32 points, didn't attempt one three-pointer. That's unheard of in today's game. He's actually only taken three threes all series. So.
Yeah, no, he's definitely found a rhythm without needing to step outside the arc. And I mean, and that's fine for this series, maybe not necessarily the next one, but I mean, they've got a long way before they can think about that.
Yeah, and it was also, he did a lot of that work tonight in the fourth quarter on LeBron, with LeBron guarding him. So, he's definitely found a rhythm. And if they can get one game in Cleveland, they could shock the world. I think that'd be more shocking than the Thunder upsetting the Warriors, possibly. So.
Yeah, it definitely would. And the longer the series goes on, the worse it gets for Cleveland as far as LeBron goes. I mean, you don't want him playing any more games than he has to. This is a big loss for them. They really needed to win this one to end it early, because the fresher that LeBron is, the better he's probably going to be against the Warriors or the Thunder.
Yeah, and if the Raptors get Valanciunas back to put alongside Biombo, that could change a lot of things too. He was available tonight. He didn't play, but I think maybe he was being saved for this game in Cleveland in case they won.
Yeah, that's definitely a wild card if you get that and you continue to get the production from Biombo. As far as rebounds and just the presence inside, you're not getting a lot of points. But I mean, if Lowry and DeRozan are stay hot, you're fine in that department.
Yep, and Kyrie did his part tonight. Definitely stepped up from the game he had in Game 3, where him and Love actually combined 4-28, which is not going to get it done against anybody. So he actually went 11-21 tonight and had 26. So he stepped up, but J.R. Smith's gone rather cold, and pretty much everyone shooting their threes except for Channing Frye have went pretty cold compared to where they were shooting it. They had like five guys shooting the ball over 45% from downtown, and they're not doing that right now.
I'm still waiting on my 40-point or 45-point LeBron game, so maybe we'll get that. Maybe he's good and angry.
That would be
losing two
seven.
Straight games. Yeah, game seven. Oh man, that'd be fun.
Yeah. The Raptors got to win one more though. They will be playing one more time in Toronto, guaranteed. So there's a chance.
Yeah, definitely. It would be pretty crazy. And just to add to his crazy resume over his career, just in this series, he has actually passed Shaq on the all-time playoff scoring list and Jason Kidd on the all-time assists list. I think that's fourth in scoring and third in assists.
Not bad. Not-